All right, if you would stand up today. We are entering the summer months and kind of a different time because we have people in and out quite a bit during the summer. And taking advantage of all the kids out of school. I always thought the worst thing to do was always go on vacation immediately after school's out because everybody's brother is out there. My brother and his family are in Disneyland right now. I mean, Disney World. How many know it's a bad place to be right now in Disney World? And kind of packed. He called me the other day and said they were packed. Unbelievable. But what we're going to do, I'm going to do a series in the summer called Throwback Sunday. Everybody say Throwback Sunday. And what I'm going to do is I've been ministering about, I forgot how many years now, 42, 43 years, about 38 here at Victory, a couple years in Hammond, and then a couple years I used to be a Baptist pastor for 2 years, and I was in town at a Baptist church, and I was pastoring there. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take, over the last 42 years, I'm going to take and kind of redo some things I've shared. Let's read the scripture first. Matthew 13 says, "And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." Everybody say what is new and what is old. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the most requested sermons I've had through the last 42 years. I'm going to do a throwback for a little bit of time during the summer months called Throwback Sunday. And I'm going to take the old one, but I'm going to kind of remix it with some new stuff and get a chance to restudy it. But I'm going to take the most requested sermons that I've had over the last 40 some years and kind of share them and came in a new way. And I've been praying about what to do each Sunday. And this beginning one is probably going to make some people mad, but I'm going to start it. And I think it'll be very helpful for you. And let's pray with that idea in mind. Father, we love you. We thank you. You're so good to us. Lord, you've been faithful to us all these years. And Lord, we thank you that just for your generosity in our lives. We thank you for your constant direction and care for our lives. You know every hair on our head. They're numbered. You know them, Lord, from the beginning to the end. David said, "I was young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread." And so, Lord, we thank you for your constant care, whether we're young or whether we're old. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated today. I want to talk to you today about getting the wrong people out of your life or not letting the wrong people into your life. One of the biggest problems I've found is the influence that people have on your life, whether you're 100 years old or whether you're 10 years old or whether you're 5 years old. And I've watched it through the years. It doesn't matter what age group. We used to think, well, this only has to do with kids. That's not true. It has to do with every age group. If the wrong person gets in your life, they can influence you. And Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, "I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world or the greedy or the swindlers or the idolaters, since then you would need..." How many know that's pretty true in Louisiana? If you couldn't associate with any of those kind of people, you'd have to move, you'd move to an island somewhere and be by yourself. And what Paul said, then you would need to go out of the world. "But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or who is an idolater or reviler or drunkard or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging the outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you." Now that was written to a church, but is also written to us as individuals. And one of the keys about life, growing up in life, is really understanding that people can have an effect on your life. Whether you know it or not, you're around work. And let me just say it this way. One of the reasons Adam and Eve was kicked out of the Garden of Eden was not only because they sinned, but because they refused to repent of their sin. What do you mean by that? When God came to Adam and said, "What have you done?" He did not say, "God, I blew it. I messed up, I sinned, I'm wrong." What he said was, "It was the woman you gave me." He rationalized his sin. And then when he comes to Eve, instead of her saying, "I blew it, I'm sorry, I repent, I was wrong," She said it was the snake that did it. So each one of them rationalized their sin. And the reason God does not fellowship and will not have his presence around people that the Bible says, and that's what Paul writes here. He says, when you've got anybody that is saying they're a brother or a sister and they're doing these things, then that tells me they're not repenting. They're rationalizing why they're doing what they're doing and they're continuing to do it, even though they say they're a Christian. And so Paul comes on the right. He said, listen, somebody like that you don't associate with. You don't get around. You don't let them up in your life. You don't let them up in a friendship. Get on a friendship basis with them. Because, he said, they're rationalizing what they're doing. They're not repenting of it. They're continuing to do it as Adam and Eve did. On and on. When David sinned, the Bible says God came to him and dealt with him. And the reason he didn't get removed from the kingship was David repented. He said, I've sinned, O Lord, against thee and thee alone have I sinned. And so he didn't rationalize it. He didn't have Nathan who came and confronted him about it. He didn't have his head chopped off, which he could have as king, like other kings did when they were confronted with their sin. So there is a deal where you've got to be careful with who you allow into your life. Who you allow, getting the wrong people out of your life and not allowing the wrong people to get into your life. And one of the biggest areas of this is really has to do, even though it's mostly thought of along that. Let me just say it. As parents, that's one of the biggest jobs as a parent you ever have in your life is to keep the wrong people out of their life. Everybody say amen. Would you say amen? It's a job to protect them from the wrong people that would try to get in their life. And as a parent, you have to know who your child is spending time with, who their friends are, where they're going, who's on the team, who's in the sleepover, whose house is it, what's about. Listen, Jasmine and I, we should have opened our own PI, you know, because when our kids were growing up, we investigated everything. We investigated who they were, their teachers, this and that. We investigated everything. Whenever they went, whenever they did, we investigated. And you need to know what they're reading, how long they were. We had one computer in the house back then. I know it's gotten a lot different now, but we had a time thing on it, and it was we had tracking systems on it. When they started driving, we put a tracking system on their car. Come on, somebody. Now you can do it with their phone and all that. And all these kinds of, do you monitor their stuff? Most people don't even know anything about their kid's life. Who it is, the singers, the music. You don't have any clue. I learned more stuff about teenage idols and these shows and these kind of cards and this kind of what. I mean, I learned so much stuff. Because I didn't want to be stupid and dumb about what they were involved in. You should have seen their faces at times when they would bring up a name and I would spout out this about them and that. How do you know about somebody? How do you know about that person? How do you know about that group? I said, well, I just said, I know about them. And so I did a lot of homework. So one of the keys is, do you know who they're communicating with? Do you have some sort of tracking device in terms of websites? I do this all the time. So one of the biggest things is there's so much software. I know kids are sharp about getting around this and that, but there's some good tech people that are sharper than your kids. And there's some things they can put on there where they cannot get around. Do you know what website? Do you know who they're talking to? You can monitor all those things. So one of the keys is, if you say, Pastor, I'm just too busy for all that. Well, then don't have kids. You better not be too busy because there's a lot going on in the world today. And who's your friends? And I want to do this. Now, I'm going to do this. I'll probably show this video. Let me show the first video. Video is okay. The second one's going to get me in trouble, but I'm going to explain the second one. But watch this first. You better get up this. I learned this when Jasmine and I were raising our kids. We didn't go in the back room and say, oh, God. Please send the right person, the right friends in their life. Oh, I just pray, Lord, God, you'll do it all. You know what we did? We got up in their lives. We got up in the middle of their friendships. I stood out in the road. Sometimes I said, no, they can't come out and play. Right? They can't come. I did all this. No, you can't go to that. No, watch this first video. This is a daddy getting up in the life of his daughter. Watch this.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
What happened to your face?
What? Oh, this? It's nothing. I was just playing around with some friends. Anyway, check out my ride.
Is that your car?
Nah, it's a friend, but I could drive it pretty much whenever. I really came to see if you want to go get something to eat with me.
I don't know. I'd have to ask my dad.
Hey, Jay, dinner's almost ready.
Hello, how are you?
Introduce
I'm good.
Dad.
You must be Jay's father.
I am, and you are?
Daddy, this is my friend Derek.
Nice to meet you, Derek. You just in the neighborhood?
Well, I actually came to see if Jay wanted to go get something to eat with me. I'll bring him back later.
Jay, why don't you go in the house? I'll be in a few minutes, all right?
Thanks for coming over, Derek. Guess I'll just see you later.
Come here, let me talk to you for a minute. Derek, I appreciate your interest in my daughter, but until she's older, we're not allowing her to go out on dates.
Look, this ain't even really a date. We're just trying to hang out.
Mm-hmm. It's important for us that she be older and for us to know who she's with.
You got a problem with me?
Look, Derek, we just don't know you, okay? And any young man interested in my daughter needs to explain to me the purpose of the relationship.
The purpose? Look, it ain't like I'm going to take advantage of a 15-year-old girl.
Oh, I agree. Now, look, if you'd like to get to know us better, you're welcome to join us for lunch on Sunday. We'd be happy to have you. How'd you get that bruise on your face?
You know what? That's none of your business. She let Jake make her own decisions.
Now, that's not Yoda. I think the screen is stretching their heads out sideways. He doesn't look like that. But notice he got up in her business. How many of you, most of your daughters, would not appreciate that at the time? Now, the second video I want to show you, I'm going to do this because you're the more mature group. I did a sermon a while back on, you asked for it, about drinking. And so I'm not, everybody know, I gave a whole sermon why I do not drink. And so just pretend this is grape juice, all right? Does everybody say grape juice? But I like the message of this. Listen to this one here. Here's from a mom's perspective.
All three of my kids are mad at me right now for like completely different, unrelated reasons. All three are mad at me right now. For those of you who struggle with math, that means that 100% of my children are angry with me right now. And you know what? I don't care. You know why? Because I am not their buddy. I am their parent. They are angry at me because I parented them. My number one job as their parent is to love them. And loving them does not mean making sure they're always happy and get every single little thing they want. Loving them means raising them into healthy, decent human beings who I would actually want to hang out with someday. That's what loving them means. Until my kids are adults, I am not their friend. We are not on the same level. I'm the authority. My child's well-being is more important to me than my child's opinion of me. My job is not to be liked by my kid, and I don't take it personally when my kid doesn't like me. And honestly, if my kids like me 100% of the time, I'm probably failing at parenting. So listen, parents. I know this parenting thing is really, 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 really hard. I know. And I know you're trying to do the right thing, and you're trying to be strict when it's necessary, and then your child gets upset at you, and then you give in. Don't do that. Don't give in. Hold your ground. And I hear some of you parents say things like, oh, my little kid is my best friend. That sounds really cute and all, but let's just be honest. If you're like 30, 40 something, and your best friend is an 8-year-old, like, that's just weird. It's weird. Don't be so insecure and desperate for your kid to always like you. Parent your child and then find friends your own age. Now, here's the good news. If you're trying to do the right thing and parent your children, them not liking you is not terminal. It's not going to last forever. You know what's terminal? Them turning into entitled, bratty adults the rest of the world now has to deal with. That's terminal. But them not liking you, that's not going to last forever. And I have some more good news. At least one brand of ice cream at your grocery store right now is on sale. So go get it.
Everybody say parenting. So you need to get up involved in your children's lives and on and on. And so one of the keys is doing it, being involved, and making sure that the wrong people do not get into your children's lives. And but that's not only for children, it's for adults too. Because adults many times in your life can get around the wrong people. And at work, I've watched over and over again how people began to get influence. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, now the word of the Lord came, I'm sorry, not go back, do I have first? Did I put 1 Corinthians 15 up there, verse 33? Yeah. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. I don't have 1 Corinthians 15. I must not have put it on there. But Paul wrote, he said, bad company corrupts good morals. And one of the keys is that happens at any stage of your life. Bad company corrupts good morals. No matter what age you are, you know, whoever you let into your life. The example is when you're around somebody that's coughing or somebody that's sick and they cough on you, guess what happens? It doesn't take long before you start coughing or you catch whatever it may be. You ever heard of Typhoid Mary? She was a lady, you know, that gave, you know, the old story about she gave it to hundreds of people had gotten sick. So one of the keys is how do you keep the wrong people out of your life? And I want to use as a classic story this morning is the book of Jonah. This is called Get Off My Boat. Everybody say, get off my boat. This is a throwback Sunday. All right. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amita, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, opposite direction. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board and to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the seas that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid and each cried out to his God, and they hurled their cargo that was in the ship. They were throwing it over into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, had lain down and was what? Fast asleep. So the captain came and said, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. So they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What's your country? What people are you? And he said, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said, what is this that you've done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up, hurl me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it's because of me, this great tempest storm has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done it as you pleased. So they picked up Jonah, hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. I want to talk to you this morning about get off my boat. Look at somebody say, get off my boat. Would you just say, no, don't say that to your wife or your husband. Just leave that right there. You've got to, listen, all of you, you've got to be careful about who you let on your boat. And let's just characterize your boat as your destiny this morning, where you're going in life, where God has taken you. Everybody in here has a destiny. Everybody here has got somewhere you're going. Everybody in here has got somewhere God has called you to be and to do in life. But you've got to be careful who you let into your boat. See, there's a difference between knowing somebody casually and letting them become good friends with you, where you go out to eat with them, you fellowship, you spend a lot of time with them. And what the key is, if you let the wrong person onto your boat, as these guys did, unknowingly, you can end up in storm after storm after storm of your life and not even want to say, what happened? What's going on in our life? Maybe if you allow someone in your children's life, if life was going along well, next thing you know, there's this big storm going on in your child's life. And you say, man, what in the world's happening? Because they've let the wrong person into their life and on their boat. When Jonah got on their boat, listen, one day you're going to get tired of always being in turmoil, always being in a fight, always being in all this upsetness. And this person, and you say, where's all this stuff coming from? You know, the Bible says this, that when Jonah got on their boat, the storm hit, and all of a sudden they had to start throwing all their stuff overboard. Man, they began to throw all the cargo overboard. And the whole reason was because they had a Jonah on their boat that was rebellious and running away from God and wouldn't repent and wouldn't do what God said. And so this person is causing into their life, he's brought this storm upon them. They don't know that to begin with. They're trying everything they can. They don't have a clue what's happening in their life. So they start throwing all their cargo, all their, like you imagine, their laptops, their TVs, their food. They're throwing it all over into the sea on the side of the boat, trying to get out of the problem. Listen, let me tell you something about your life. God has not authorized you God, you don't have enough resources in your life to take care of yourself and somebody that is rebellious running away from God. You're going to end up, if you begin to try to do that in your life, and someone that does not want to repent, someone that does not want to get right with God, and so they're rebellious. And if you try to keep them into your life, you're going to end up with storm after storm after storm. Your bank account is going to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. Your peace, your time with your wife, your husband, is going to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. Your peace of mind is going to dwindle. Your peace is going to dwindle and dwindle. And you're going to be casting all this stuff overboard. And the Bible says over and over, you say, I don't have enough energy to deal with the storms that I cause myself, let alone if I bring somebody else into my life that's causing all these storms. You've got to realize if you let the wrong person into your life and you're wondering, what is all these storms? What are all these fights? What are all these things happening? What is all this? You've got to realize you don't have enough energy in your life to take care of your problems and their problems too. The Bible says the difference is, listen, in the New Testament, the Bible says they got in storm after storm. The difference is if Jesus is in the boat with you or you're doing what Jesus told you, that's absolutely great because he will bring you through the storm. But if you're in a storm because of a Jonah you let into your life, I don't care how much you row, you're not coming out of that storm. Can I get an amen in this Presbyterian church? There are people here today, you used to have joy until this person came into your life. You used to have peace until this person, you used to have prosperity until this person came into your life. And now because of either guilt or feeling the wanting to be needed, you've brought somebody into your life that's now, you're deteriorating and all these things, you're casting all your stuff overboard. And so we're going to put some Jonas off the boat today. That's going to be it. You've got to come to understand you only have enough energy, enough resource, enough time to do what God has told you to do. Now, here's what we do. We think that somehow our boat is different than all the other boats. Because some of you have got people in your life that you know where they came from. And you know the problem they came out of. But you think your boat is different, that you can now do what the other boats could not do. I've learned something about this. Some people ought to be named, you know, Brother Twister, Sister El Nino, because all they do is come into your life, and they come in life, and they wreak havoc. They cause problems between you and your spouse, you and your husband, you and your mom and dad. They wreak havoc into your life, and somehow you, just because you want them, you need them in your life. And yet they're tearing up your life, and you know it, but you're losing this and losing that. And so you have to come to a place where you have to look back and see their track record all over the place. I've learned that it's about life. There's a lot of people that literally have relationships that's broken one after another. I learned this about as pastors. We get together monthly and meet. And you know there are people that travel from one church to the next and all they do is work havoc. I remember years ago, I had a pastor, another church in town, called me and said, can I have lunch with you? I said, sure. And he said, well, there was so-and-so. They used to go to your church years ago, but now they went to another church. Now they came to our church. And he said, they're about to split my church. And I said, I learned this. The good ship Zion cannot fix everybody if they do not want to be fixed. If they are a brother, calling themselves a brother or sister, and they are doing all these things, they're not repentive. And so the Bible says God cast Adam and Eve out of the garden. He wouldn't have fellowship with them. He moved them from the presence of his presence. Because not so much that they'd sinned, but they wouldn't repent of their, they rationalized their sin. And we've got people that had ongoing problems that literally never really want to be. All they want is a listening ear and somebody to be sympathetic with them. But they really don't want to change. And what happens is it brings storms into your life. And you've got to come to that place where you realize it cannot happen. So when you begin to do that, sometimes we want something for a person more than they want for themselves. You want them to change. You want them to do better. We want it more for them than they want it for themselves. So I've learned this. Jonah is sleeping at the bottom of the ship, and these guys are throwing all their stuff overboard. And the Bible says Jonah is in the bottom of the ship just sleeping along. And some of you are having torment. Some of you are having all this activity going on in your life. And the person that's causing is just snoring away. And you're trying to row out of the storm you're in. And all you're rowing is doing is putting them to sleep. And you've got to come to a place in your life where you realize, hey, this isn't working. It's not happening in my life. So when you get tired of rowing, it's time to start throwing, as I used to say. And sometimes you want something more, and you got to learn that they really don't want it. Now, listen to this. Sometimes when people enter your life, if they do not change by their contact with you, it means that, listen, they didn't get on your boat to change. They just got on your boat to get from you what they can get from you. There are people that literally just go and drain people, and when they get finished, they finally go and find somebody new they can start draining again. We continually have that here. People come for money, and we help certain people. But there are groups of people we don't help because all they're doing is going around from church to church to church to church, and all they're doing, they don't want to change. They just want to get money. They want to do it. So one of the keys about your life is this. You have to realize who it is has access to your life. Let me ask you, who has access to your life? Who are you allowing into your life that really is not good for your life? Who it maybe at work, maybe at school, maybe in a relationship. Listen, when God wants to bless you, he will send a person. But when the devil wants to curse you, he will send a person. Either way, your blessing or your curse is coming with some skin on it. And you have to have the discernment to know, is this a blessing from God or is this a curse from the devil? Peter came one time, and the Bible says Jesus rebuked him and said, get you behind me who? Satan, because he knew this wasn't a blessing from God. When Peter came into his life that moment, that wasn't a blessing from God. That wasn't a person coming from God. That was a person coming from the devil to curse him. He said, you know, in the Bible, and Jesus said, get behind me, devil. I know this is a curse. So you need to have discernment in your life. Some of us are needy. You know, one of the keys about our lives is we gravitate to low relationships because they're easy. We gravitate, we live people in our life because it's easy. Man, it's easy. It's an easy relationship. But see, you will never grow if you gravitate to low relationships only. If you let in your life people that are literally dragging you down, causing storms in your life, causing problems between you and your wife or you and your husband, get them out of your life. Don't listen to them. Oh, I wouldn't put up with a woman like that. I wouldn't put up with a woman like that. Never. I wouldn't put up a man. That's why you ain't got a man. That's why you ain't got a woman. Because you, listen, all you do is you let these people and they influence your life. So you have to be careful who you allow access to your life. Some of us literally gravitate to those low things. And one of the keys is this, sometimes you'll have people, you'll have people in your life who are critical. And you'll have people come to your life that's always, always critical of you. They're fault finders. I always say it's like this. It's like you have anybody in your life that all they do is fault find in your life. They just find this fault with you and that fault with you and this fault with you. I call them Superman X-ray vision. It only works on other people. But they can see every fault you've got in your life. You're this, you're that, you're this. They can destroy years worth of vision in 30 minutes of their criticizing what they say just a certain way. As if your destiny was determined by your perfection. And I've learned this in life. God, listen, the way you get to your destiny is not being perfect. You didn't have a 24-hour period of perfection and then God said, well, you're perfect now, so now I'm going to bring you where you need to go. Listen, God speaks to your potential. And you, as you reach toward your potential, you outgrow your faults. The other night we had at Men's Fellowship, we had Joey Martin come. And when Joey was here at our church for many years before he moved out to South Baton Rouge, he runs ITI. You see him a lot on TV. You got to see, we had a lot of issues. He shared them that night. We had some issues with him. We could have said all this and that. And I know we could have canned him and all this. But we just believed in him and saw what God did. Now he runs IT and I because he had a business. The business failed. He flopped. He tried to do his own business, an art school. And it went down the drain, went south. and got in some other stuff. And now, listen, he's pastoring, and he's pastor over a church in Africa, and he's preaching most every Sunday. I mean, when you reach toward your potential, God, listen, you outgrow your faults. The way you do it is don't sit there and focus on your faults. And if a fault finder jumps on your boat, Liz, what happens in your life is all you hear is in your mind whenever you think about what God could do with you. You hear this voice of this fault finder of your faults that you can never do this, you can never do that. Luke chapter 6 and verse 41 says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye and do not see the log that's in your own eye? So now you're also bound up, second-guessing yourself. You used to have a flow. You used to have a security. You used to have confidence. And now you don't even know what to do because you let the wrong person into your life. If you've got somebody in your life that always finds faults, listen, it's time to stop rowing and stop and start throwing them out of your life. You need to cut out of your life people that are not wanting to change, and they're tearing you down. You need to do that. There are people, they have the ability to literally just wipe out years of vision. Let me give you a few more. Listen, you cannot become great unless you connect yourself with greatness. Most everybody needs somebody to look up to. And you cannot be great running around with foolish people all the time. Did you know they have a fool's factory here in Baton Rouge? They produce these fools. I mean, Baton Rouge is full of fools on every corner. I don't know where they come from, but they're just everywhere. And if you connect, if that's the only people you've got around you, listen, you can't be great when you've got a Jonah on your boat. You cannot be great unless you connect yourself with greatness. I like this in Mark chapter 5. It says, he allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. And they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said, why are you making a commotion, weeping? The child's not dead, but sleeping. They laughed at him, but he put them all outside. Everybody say, he put them all outside. He threw them off his boat. He got them out of the room. He got away from them. And there's people in your life you need to get away from. There's people in your life. He made them stay out of the bedroom. Listen, we have to resist the temptation to put on a facade. And literally lit around our lives a lot of people that literally are that aren't going anywhere, aren't doing anything. Listen, a lot of goofy, if a lot of goofy people think you're cool, it doesn't count. If a lot of goofy people think you're great, listen, we got to stop fooling ourselves that because we're the leader of the seven dwarves, somehow we're the king of the world. You've got to realize in your life, you've got to connect yourself with greatness. Get around great people. Get somebody that will challenge you. We need to do that. You need to come to the place where you begin to do that. They were rowing and they were throwing all their stuff overboard. I mean, they were being drained of all their resources. And if you're being drained of all your resources because you're trying to take care of and prop up somebody that's rebelling against God, you need to stop it. You need to get that person out of your inner circle. It doesn't mean you don't love them, you don't care for them, you don't feel, but you get them out of your inner circle because you're going to sink along with them. There comes a day when you need to understand that when you get tired of rowing, it's time to start throwing. When you get tired of just rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing against the storm, I don't care how much you row, you're not going to row out of that storm. If it's caused by the person you've allowed into your life. So they begin to throw it out. So listen to this. So they throw Jonah. They finally come to the knowledge. We need to get rid of Jonah. We need to get rid of Jonah. Now let me show you this because this will help you get that person out of your life. Because whether it's because of guilt, you feel like you're responsible. Nobody else will help them if I don't help them. I'm too deep into it. I've gotten physically involved with them, so I can't. I'm connect. Let me show you this. Jonah chapter 1 verse 17 says, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish. God prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now watch this very carefully. All that time that they're on the boat, and even when they find out that he's the reason, and then Jonah tells them what they need to do. You need to get rid of me. Yeah, you need to throw me over the side of the boat. You need to get out of the storm. You know what the Bible says? They still refused to do it, whether they felt guilty, whether they felt it was the wrong thing to do. You know, I'm a Christian, and so I've got to do this. And so they wouldn't do it. But you know what they were doing the whole time? They were aiding and abetting his rebellion. And they literally, listen very carefully. They did not know it, but they were actually hindering the will of God for that person's life. Even though they thought they were doing a fantastic job of they thought they were doing the Christian thing. They thought they were doing the right. They were hindering the will. Why is that? Because God had appointed a great fish to deal with the rebellion in Jonah's heart. But they were aiding and abetting him by not throwing him over, by protecting him and losing their own resources and being in a storm because of him and enduring all that stuff because of him. They literally were aiding and abetting his rebellion that God wanted to deal with him. And God had caused a big fish to come along and appointed this big fish to come along and swallow him. But the fish could not do what God had commanded because they were keeping him on their boat, wanting to save him, wanting to secure him. They thought they were doing, and they literally were aiding and abetting rebellion from God. So when you come to that place, look at somebody and say, are you smarter than a whale? Would you just say, are you smarter than a whale? You got fish brains. I don't know how long that fish had followed that boat. Doesn't tell us. But I got a feeling every time they threw something overboard, that whale comes sniffing up there just to see if that was what God had appointed. No, that's not Jonah. There's a TV. There's a laptop. There's a house. There's a bank. No, that's not it. There's some food. There's wheat. There's corn. No, that's not Jonah. And God had prepared a fish for Jonah to do what Jonah was supposed to do to bring and break the rebellion in his life. And sometimes we don't know in the depth of the rebellion in somebody's life that what God has planned for them and our protecting them is literally hindering the will of God for their life. And so when you got a sister El Nino or a brother Twister in your life, and that's going on this problem, and you think you're doing the good thing by protecting them and providing for them and giving them and bringing them into your circle, and you're having the storm of your life and you're losing your resources, and literally you're breaking and you're stopping the will of God for the life. Jonah 2, you don't know the depth. Look at this. In Jonah chapter 2, it says Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights. Then, everybody say then. Then Jonah prayed. Let me tell you how rebellious this guy was. He was so rebellious, so unbent on repenting, so going away from what God wanted in his life. This guy, listen, he was thrown overboard, swallowed by a fish, and for 3 days he wouldn't repent. I don't know about you, but if I'd have been thrown overboard and I saw Free Willy coming after me, I'd have been repenting the first second I saw this fish. But this is the depth of the rebellion in his heart. He waited 3 days. He figured out how to get. I mean, he had to be the starches and all that stuff in his stomach. He had to be being turned white and shriveling up. And he would not repent. And it took 3 days. 3 days in the belly of a whale for him to. And you think he's going to repent on your boat? You think he's going to turn around for God on your boat? You think he's just going to sit there and really get his life straight by what you're doing because you're rowing him to sleep. He's just cradling him in the bottom of that boat, just rowing him to sleep and lulling him to sleep. You think that's helping him? When God's got the belly of a whale planned for him for three, he's going to take 3 days in the belly of a whale in the bottom of the sea for that guy to finally pray. So let me just encourage you. This morning, I don't know what Jonah you've got in your life. I don't know what you've been guilty of thinking you're helping them. But I'm going to tell you something. You got to come to the place where you realize they literally are not going to change until God is only God can change their life, not you. You were never appointed to change. You were appointed to do what God told you to do. And there are some people that only God himself can change their lives. Only God himself, when God brings them to the breaking point. See, some of them are not at the breaking point. They're not ripe. But you think by your involvement with them that you're going to change them. You're being drugged down. The example I do in all my counseling cases when somebody comes in and I can tell this is a situation. I do this every time. I say, I ask them, I said, if they're dressed properly, I say, I want you to stand on a chair or stand on my desk. And they'll stand there. And then I sit in my chair, I sit on the floor. And then I said, reach down here and take my hand. I said, now here's where we are. Here's where you are right now. He said, the person you're trying to do this with is down on the floor and you're up. Now let's see who's going to win. Won't you pull? And I'll pull them down. And you know what it does in their mind? They say, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And you've got to get them to a place where, listen, there are some people only God can. John chapter 2 says it. He said, now he was in Jerusalem at the Passover. Many believed in his name, for he saw the signs that he was doing. And verse 24. But Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people. And no one needed to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. See, only God knows what was in man. Only Jesus. Jesus didn't let any of those people into his life, into his boat, because he said he knew what was in man's life. And so what's happened is some of you, and I just felt this from the Lord, some of you were going somewhere the Lord had for you, but because of somebody that's entered into your life, you've gotten detoured. You're in a storm. You're rowing and rowing and rowing, and you're doing it because you feel guilty. You feel like it's what God wants. You know, it's a Christian thing to do. And yet God is prepared for them to change them. God is prepared. You say, well, you know, I know there's other people. They tried to help him, but they couldn't help him like I can help him. You know, all them, you know, his parent, his husband, his wife. You know, I'm listening because he's got a bad wife or she's got a bad husband. So I'm listening and listening. And you've got the wrong person into your life. So what you need to do is you need to say one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. And my tail is just cast him right off the boat. All right, everybody stand up today, all right? Everybody stand up. I don't have a real close ending. We're just going to end it right there and there. I'm going to challenge you this week to take that word and add to it. I'm going to challenge you this week. Who in your life really needs to be cast off your boat? Who have you gotten up into your life that really, really should never have been in your life? Who is it in your life? I don't care how connected you are. I don't know what's happened in your life. I don't know how close you are, how friend you moved them in physically into your life. I don't know if you moved. I don't know. But I'll bow your heads, would you? I'm going to tell you this. You have a destiny that God has called. You have a calling on your life. And that person, listen, I told you this. Remember this. When God wants to bless you, he brings a person into your life. When the devil wants to curse you, he brings a person into your life. Either way, cursing or blessing, it's going to come to you with some skin on it. And you need the discernment from the Lord. Say, God, is this you or is this the devil? Is this a blessing from God? And then I want you just to think about your life before that person came into your life. Think about what your life was like before that person ever came into your life. What was it like? Was it peaceful? Did you have the resources? Did you do all? What's happening? Are you being dominated? What's happening in your life? And remember this and realize this. When you come to that conclusion, you're tired of rowing and you're tired of throwing all your stuff, it's time to throw Jonah from the boat. It's time to get that person out of your life or that group of people out of your life. So, Father, this morning I just pray. I ask you, Lord, for wisdom. You said we could ask it, and so we ask it this morning. I pray for wisdom for every soul in this building this morning, that you would open their eyes of their understanding, and they would know, Lord, no matter how fragile it may seem, how connected they may be, that they would release that person in their life that's causing the storms in their life. And Father, I thank you for helping us. I thank you for giving us wisdom, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen today. Give the Lord a good clap off if you would. God bless you.